Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There is a lot to update out of Minneapolis since we got off the air yesterday afternoon. There are a lot of really powerful images coming out of the city with protests last night. And some details that we can update for you as well. And to help us do that, we are pleased to be joined by Susie Jones, who is a longtime reporter in Minneapolis with WCCO, our sister station there, and has a lot to tell us about how things have been going. Susie, thanks a lot for making the time for us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
Can you tell us first where you are right now?
I am at 38th and Chicago on the south side of the city. It's probably a mile or so, a little more than a mile out of downtown. It is the site of where George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer, allegedly. Of course, you just mentioned the videos that have surfaced, the video showing the officer kneeling on George Floyd's neck and him saying, "I can't breathe." And that really sparked two nights now of protests and violence. So in about an hour, Reverend Al Sharpton is going to be here to speak to the crowd, again, to try to calm some of the anger and rage that has been sparked in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. So last night, just to give you an example, I was there all day yesterday at the site of the third precinct. That's where the officer works out of, and that's about a mile from the site of the incident. Last night, the crowd swelled to thousands, and at one point in the evening, about 9 o'clock, the protesters and others busted open the windows of the Target store that's just across the street, and there was massive looting that went on inside Target. And from there, the night just continued to unfold in a really a horrifying way. I've been at that scene already this morning, you guys, and it looks like a war zone. There's fires burning, still a small number of protesters still out there this morning, but just really a sad day for the city of Minneapolis.
So much to go over about just setting the scene right now. When we talk about the protests themselves, how, in terms of city blocks, how large an area are we talking about where these protests are going on?
I would say the epicenter is the police department. Well, I'll take that back. Let me just say that the first night, so this was Tuesday night, so we got the news, the press release, the original wrong press release that came out about midnight, a little after midnight on Tuesday, early morning, saying that he died of a medical condition, so that was wrong. And so when the video surfaced that night, there was about several thousand people at the site of the incident. That's where I am, 38th in Chicago. There's a memorial set up here. That night, there were several thousand people that gathered, black, white, brown, every color of the rainbow, peacefully protesting this killing. And from there, it's about 1 mile from that spot to the third precinct. So everybody marched, and it was continued to be peaceful. And then at some point, that first riot night, they cut tires in the police car, they smashed windows, they broke mirrors, they spray painted the police department. There was no damage to businesses that first night, but it was a pretty horrific night. And so then yesterday, as I was there from, 8 in the morning till about 8 at night, every hour you could feel more people coming. It was hot. Everybody was converged, and they closed down the stop traffic, so they had that whole intersection full of people. And every hour you could feel it ramping up, just amping up. And the police, just to give you a sense, there were police officers on top of the roof of the precinct, as well as about a dozen or so that were blocking this road that was behind the police department, and they were all in their full riot gear. And that really, just their presence, initiated a lot of rage. Like, just them standing there, the protesters would throw things at them, water bottles, some were throwing rocks and other things. And every time they threw a rock or a water bottle, the police that were standing there guarding the department, the building, they shot rubber bullets and tear gas to try to back the crowd up. But that was all during the day. So it wasn't until the sunset that the fires got set. And I'll let you continue to ask me questions because I could just keep rambling on.
Sure.
No, you're doing a great job just telling us things that, you know, we can read about it all day, but you're doing a great job just telling us about what it looks like. Can you describe the shooting that initially was reported as a stabbing last night, but that became a person who was pronounced dead at a hospital?
Yeah, I can tell you what I know about it, what little I know, but I did just actually, this is interesting, I just interviewed the owner of a jewelry store, Thurston Jewelers, which is about a mile from the police department. So what happened last night, after everything got set on fire, the looters, the people, the protesters, the rioters, they made their way down Lake Street about a mile, smashing into businesses. And at one of these, this jewelry store, the owner just told me that a van pulled up with several people inside, masked, and they had machine guns, and they shot out the windows of the jewelry store, and they ransacked his business. And he says they got about $200,000 worth of jewelry and other damage to the property. So what he and I were talking, I interviewed him, and he said the pawn store, the one you're speaking about, that shooting, someone was breaking into the pawn store right there at Minnehaha and Lake Street, right next to the police precinct. And either the owner or a worker inside the pawn store shot at looters trying to get into their store. So that's what I was told by him. He told me anecdotally that Lloyd Thurston told me that if he would have been there last night, he's got a concealed to carry a weapon, and he said he would have been shooting people last night, but he wasn't there. So
I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen later today and what's gone on over the last 24 hours, because yesterday we got word that the mayor was calling for an arrest of at least one, if not all, of the officers involved in this. Since then, we have heard from many people, as you said, Al Sharpton's going to be there to try to quell tensions. And we've heard
Jesse
from a lot
Jackson,
of people positing Jesse Jackson. Yes. With a lot of people, speculating that an arrest is what it's really going to take to get these tensions back under control. Has there been any movement on the prosecutor's office or any statement on behalf of the police department on this?
Well, we've had several conversations with the police department. Obviously, they're not going to talk about charging one of their own officers because it's in the hands now of the county attorney and the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and the FBI. At this time, right now as we're speaking, the mayor of Minneapolis, I believe the police chief is on this live call too, and one of the city council members for the Minneapolis City Council, Andrea Jenkins, who's African American, they're holding a press conference at this hour. Now, they may just be doing that to beg for calm tonight. I think that I have not heard one thing from Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman on the charges, but he has in the past waited until he's gotten information from the BCA in other cases before he makes the determination whether he'll charge. So we'll see. I mean, it's hard to tell. I was talking about this earlier, you guys, that yesterday during the middle of it all, someone said over the loudspeaker that the officer had been arrested. And everyone cheered, and I interviewed this person, then I called the newsroom, and I'm like, yeah, do we know if this officer's been charged? And they're all like, no, he's not been charged. So that was kind of, it came up yesterday, and then they went right back out. So I don't know. Maybe it will, if he's charged, maybe it will quell some of this rage, but maybe it won't.
Is it significant to you at all in watching the story that the University of Minnesota president came out yesterday and said the school's going to cut some ties with Minneapolis police? Yeah, we could read some of the statement, but I'm sure you're aware of what they said. Is that, what does that say to you?
As a lifelong Minnesotan and a reporter for 30 years, 20 of them at WCCO, it's, you know, to say unprecedented doesn't really give it justice. I mean, it's staggering, and I think, of course, you know, when someone does or says something bad, we've seen that in the media, that whether it's a athlete or a movie star, that everybody drops their sponsorship. Everybody wants to back away from whatever it is that's creating bad feelings or racist comment or what have you, whatever it is. So I think that might be some of this right now. But I've actually been a reporter here for a long time. And from my vantage point, the police have been, I would say, fairly fair. However, I'm a white person. And if you talk to people in the African-American community, they might tell a whole different story of what their experience is with police behind the scenes. I think, I'll just tell you this, that if there would not have been video of that death on Monday night, I don't know that they wouldn't have had a report that just said he died of a medical situation.
So describe one more thing for us, if you would. You know, how many people are standing around you right now and what the law enforcement presence is on that corner at the moment?
Well, at 38th in Chicago, there's no law enforcement presence. This is the site of the memorial. This is where it happened. There's a church on one side of the street. There's a this grocery store called Cup Foods. And this is the crowd that's gathering to genuinely, I think, protest the death of George Floyd. There was not a lot of rioting here. It mostly took place down by the Third Precinct.
And so we know that this news conference is happening right now. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, correct me if I'm wrong, but the city came out and identified all four officers. Were you surprised at that?
Yeah, I was surprised by the speed by which they did it. And that might be some kind of an indication of how administrative leaders in Minneapolis and in the police department feel about the video. I mean, Jacob Fry, as you said, is calling for charges and murder charges. But I have to tell you candidly that I had a conversation with the police chief yesterday privately because a person near to me, standing next to me on Tuesday morning got arrested by the precinct, Third Precinct, and it was very bizarre. And we were like, why are you arresting this kid? He was probably in his 20s. So I put my phone out and started recording because that's what we do. And as they're arresting him, people are walking with him toward, he's had his handcuffs, and they were walking toward a squad car in the lot of the police station. And so I'm rolling tape on my phone, and we're walking toward the station, and a police officer pushes me out of the way, shoves me out of the way, and I kind of fall back. And I was like, what? You know, that's crazy. Don't push me. I'm not blocking you. Don't push me. And so I mentioned it to the chief yesterday, and he wanted to talk to me privately. And then we got talking about the actual incident. And he was very honest and forthcoming and actually showed me the how they were kneeling on the guy. And he's like, you don't think that one of the four might have tapped on the guy's shoulder and said, hey, I think we got him. I think it's good. You know, you don't need, he's already down. He's not going anywhere. So he sort of alluded that just common sense would indicate that you might say to a friend or a colleague or a coworker, hey, I think we're good here. This guy, you know, you can back off. But we learned this morning that the officer that had his knee on the guy had been in the force for, you know, 30-plus years and was the highest-ranking, blah, blah, blah. And so there was probably fear. They were one of, they maybe they were new on the job. I think two of them were fairly new police officers, so they didn't have maybe the courage or the gumption to stand up to their superior and say, get your foot off that guy's neck.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. And of course, I mean, we're all really watching it from here. You're there living it, and we certainly appreciate the time. We're going to send everybody to WCCO to the website to follow the latest on this. At what time did you say that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are going to speak?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So we'll keep our ears toward that as well.
You're the same time zone as me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we
so
wish
we'll
calm and safety for your city.
Thank you so much. And I want to tell your listeners, too, that radio.com, you can go there and search for WCCO Radio. We've got pictures on our website and video of some of the stories that I've just been sharing. I took a video of inside the jewelry store, and so there's some pretty captivating video there to be found as well.
Susie Jones from WCCO, our sister station in Minneapolis. Great job laying things out for us and describing what's going on. And again, we hope that things calm down and that some resolution is found in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we do too. Thanks for your time as well.
You bet. Take care.
Thanks a lot. All right, that's the latest out of Minneapolis. Again, you can go to radio.com and you can see the pictures and video that she was referring to there. It's 11:49 here on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.